on down to AfterBuzz, gonna talk your favorite show.
Friendly hosts everywhere, humble talks with application.
Going on down to AfterBuzz, gonna see my favorite host.
Ample thoughts day or night, people shouting but never fighting.
Heading on up to AfterBuzz, gonna hope we don't ramble.
We like those with thick eyed titties, man, I hope this show ain't silly.
Come on down to AfterBuzz and meet some hosts of mine.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back for season 21 of South Park. That's right, we're your AfterBuzz panel. We've mixed it up a little bit this season. Not only do we have new panelists, we're also doing it in a new and different format, keeping it a lot shorter. We have Christian Blatt. Welcome, Christian.
Hey, Phil. Great to be here. Very excited to talk about South Park.
That's right. And check him out. He does the Trump Report on AfterBuzz TV. And then breaking the hosting cherry, I believe.
Yes.
At least in terms of AfterBuzz.
Yes. I'm Steph Sabraw. You can follow me at Steph Sabraw. And I'm really excited about this season.
That's right. And we've kept Stephen Lemieux away for this episode because he, for all intents and purposes, might as well be a white supremacist. So we've decided to keep him at home.
In other words, Steph, you took his job.
You
did take a job.
Got it.
Let's start with overall reactions to this episode before we even go any further. Why don't we start with the ladies first?
Okay. Personally, I really liked this episode. Coming off of, I was telling Phil, I really liked last season. I know some people didn't feel the same way, but I thought this episode kind of played a little more politically than they said they would, but I personally liked it. What about you guys?
I think it was good that we didn't get into anything Trump, Mr. Garrison, whatever you want to call him, and yet I feel like it would be hard for them to do this show and ignore everything from the headlines, especially when you have something like Charlottesville that happened not that long ago.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting mix. I'm kind of torn myself between, do I want him to be more serialized, or do I want him to continue the route of just episodic?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was another great article that I read during the off season how it talked about the fact that they went more serialized. It broke down the number of jokes per minute. Just because once you have to worry about plot, then it kind of deteriorates. And it also, the lot of great articles talking about just TV in general becoming more serialized over the long term versus episodic. I think they'll find their way. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt about them.
Yeah, I think that just by the nature of the way they tell stories, it'll end up being at least somewhat serialized because there'll be callbacks and, you know, who knows what'll happen in the next few weeks that they might be like, oh, let's go back to the white people renovating houses.
Yeah, I was actually reading an article that the writers were saying that they don't want to make it so planned, but when they don't plan it, it eventually has kind of these anecdotes that seem planned and it works out better that way. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. It'll certainly be interesting, but why don't we kick things off with good old Cartman and Heidi, because, I mean, hey, if there's any tie over to last season, it's definitely Cartman and Heidi, because as we all know, Steph, women want us for our jokes and our semen. Shame the devil, speak
no,
the truth.
No, oh my gosh. That was the only time I liked him was last season. He peaked. I was like, he's a ladies' man now, he's sweet, and now he's back to taking advantage of Heidi. Heidi's a queen, you guys.
Well, maybe if Heidi was just clearer about what she wanted and what he should be doing, this wouldn't be so much pressure on Cartman. He's trying to be a good boyfriend, but you know what? He's just not capable of it. And
yeah,
maybe
she
could help him.
He's not capable of it. I agree with that.
I think maybe she's not capable of being a good girlfriend.
That might also be true.
No, this is what happens. You guys get with your friends, and then you all decide that the girl is trying to interrogate you.
I mean,
you.
They were having a lot of fun, and then Heidi came in.
They were
and I was really
fun.
Glad to see her, by the way, because I wasn't sure if that was, you know, if they were like, okay, we told that story. So I was glad, like, oh, good, we still have that to play with, and I'm sure it'll go on for a while. But anyway, they're having so much fun, and she comes in, and it's like, hey, babe, how are you? Love you too. You know, all mm-hmm. that. Like, that was, they really nailed that moment.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever gone through anything.
Yeah. Of course not.
Well, she's just so controlling of his life, the fact that she's like checking in, like, you're using your cell phone.
You're projecting.
Oh, so your phone is with you.
Oh,
remember,
that was
the big thing of last
hilarious.
Year was the social media.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of our phones.
That's true.
And speaking of callbacks, they didn't outright say it, but it was like one of those subtle Easter eggs of, you know, where he's like, with Alexa, remember his big thing was, you know, respect my authority.
Yeah.
And so Alexa respects his authority.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie, Her?
Yes.
Okay, that's where he's going towards. You guys, he asked her what is love 3 times.
Yeah, that's true. I think having Alexa in his life was clearly what makes him really happy. And the best moment for me in the whole show was when he basically replaced Heidi with Alexa in the way where he said, Heidi, silence!
Yes.
It was a very Cartman moment. I think he was really in his glory
in
there.
His element, I agree.
Well, I don't think it's the first time they've ever like kind of talked about how women have beaten up men.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it with Randy and his wife. We've seen it. Remember when Bill Clinton just last season was coaching Stan of like, just apologize to Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was that most half-assed like apology.
Yeah.
So Cartman going in with the scripted lines, it makes sense.
And I thought from last season, because he was kind of hinting that, you know, girls are going to take over, so you've got to assimilate or leave. So I knew he was going to go one way or the other with that. Mm-hmm. He can't handle it.
I agree. Well, in terms of Alexa, he just has full control over it. I don't know if it's going to go into the weird masturbation her type of fantasy. But I could tell you, right now, if you try to do it with Alexa, because I have an Alexa.
I do too.
I don't.
They're not as great as people think.
No. She starts talking when you're not asking her a question, but you're not asking a question at all. You're just talking, and just very loudly, she'll be like, I don't know about that. I'm like, well, nobody asked you. Silence, Alexa. I'm going to have to be more like Cartman with her. And it's like, I have a 2-year-old son, and it's like, it annoys him. And so he'll be like, Alexa, stop, because just talks so much. Yeah. Kind of like Heidi.
See, this one time we were talking about one of our friends named Alexis.
Okay, that's
and,
bad.
And we didn't understand why we were all together. And we were talking about like some freaky thing. And then all of a sudden, Alexa started playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I'm like, what the hell is this? Speaking of that, like, I think the technology is getting into a good place. But right now, honestly, I just use my Alexa as a glorified sound system and to play Jeopardy. But when I say play Jeopardy, it's not like you can get with a group of friends to play Jeopardy for a long night. It's literally like a 2-minute game of Jeopardy. It's kind of lame.
And that's through Alexa.
Yes. That's what I use my Alexa for.
I ask her what time it is sometimes. Sometimes I want to know the weather. And my son likes when I ask her to make animal noises. Like, Alexa, what does a horse say?
Oh, I didn't know she did that.
Oh, she does a lot, but nothing useful. Literally nothing useful.
Which is kind of funny when you we'll talk about transitioning to the white supremacy stuff. Like, it's certainly not a job that anyone would want to actually take.
Completely.
No. Yeah, I think that she can have that job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember this isn't South Park related, but remember when they were celebrating the Back to the Future. 2015 year, right?
Yeah.
When they go to the future, quote unquote, and Back to the Future 2. And they did that skit on Kimmel where Doc is like, oh my God, you guys have all these computing powers in your phone. You guys must use it for blah, blah. And Kimmel's like, nah, we just kind of send poop memes to each other.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Alexa and all this crap is really for.
He's simplifying the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's to ask her to add hairy donkey balls to your shopping list.
Completely.
That's really what she's
every
there
day.
For,
you know, and so certainly you can't get a replacement like that from a guy or, you know, as the white supremacist. However, that rendition of Be Humble by Kendrick Lamar
was
the best rendition
that was
I've
hilarious.
Heard.
Yeah.
I hope that that's on iTunes tomorrow morning, the full version, you know, because that would be great.
It should be featuring Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And
sick.
Be Humble.
Sick.
But, okay, so since you're the most politically inclined Christian.
I just said it must be me, right?
I don't know. Break it down for us in terms of the Charlottesville
Look, I think tonally they basically went into it as much as they needed to. You know, they didn't really dwell on it. They didn't treated overly seriously. In fact, they kind of played up the comedic aspect of it. You know, there were tiki torches and things outside of I actually forget which guy's house that was now, but one of the white supremacist house. And you know, I think it's like they're able to, what this show does so often is take a pretty serious issue that isn't that funny and go like, oh no, well, this part of it is actually very funny.
Yeah,
you know. And I love that every time that the guys were waving the Confederate flag, it was get that bee out of here or let's cool down the soup, you know. So they were just really playing it up. And yeah, I mean, that's sort of, I think, for people, you know, look, people watch this show across the whole country, and there are people who maybe have a Confederate flag but don't really think about what it means. And they're like, okay, so they're not really making fun of me. They're making fun of the other, you know, real white supremacists. So I think it was a little bit more inclusive, if that makes sense, than like if, say, SNL or one of the late night shows went after this issue. I think the guys at South Park, because they're from Colorado, they're a lot more mindful of, you know, the frame of mind of what they call flyover country. You know, so they look at the country as a whole as to how people are feeling about these issues.
Do you want, because I saw a couple of fan tweets and whatnot, and they said, you know, one of the ones that stood out to me, and I forget who it is, he talked about, I used to look forward to watching South Park, but now I don't because they're going to take that centric, you know, we just don't care type of approach.
Right.
And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts because in some sense, yes, they're making fun of it, but it's like the solution is just don't care about anything. And at a time when everyone cares, like there's so much in real life to care about, whether it's the hurricane that's happening, whether it is Donald Trump in office, whether it's all this other stuff. You know, people just taking up causes. They need a cause for they need applause for this cause.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's only so much time in the day to care so much about so many things. So it's like, what is it that's actually going to bother me? You know, you can feel bad for people in the hurricane, but you can also not let it ruin your day. You know, you can be like, oh my God, Trump's terrible, but what am I going to do about it today? You know, let me know if I can help, world. But at the same time, it's like, I think it's smart to not dwell on it. That must be the way that Trey and Matt look at it.
Fair enough.
I thought it was interesting because I don't think it was as much this episode was necessarily political as a social statement. I think there was kind of a play on how white traditionalist people would treat, you know, the white supremacists and kind of ignore it and try to compromise. But then it obviously doesn't work. I mean, the house is still filled with Confederate flags. So I don't think it's necessarily attacking. I think it's attacking, like, the right group. It's not attacking all white people. It's just showing you that. I think it's making just more of a play on the social aspect, not the political, which it shouldn't have been a political. I don't think Charlottesville should have been necessarily a political war off between the sides because it was just should have been, you know, unite the right and what's not unite the right group. But I think South Park will do and has, they're just really good about, like you were saying, making jokes about serious things and kind of letting people listen to it from a different perspective and maybe not as serious or from, you know, new outlook. So I like that, and I think that they'll keep doing that this season.
I think so too. And you know, this doesn't directly tie into it, but I forgot to talk about it with Heidi and Cartman. I was showing her Cartman's triangle, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it's more commonly referred to as the drama triangle, where it has persecutor, victim, and rescuer, and that's the triangle, right? And so the reason I brought it up was how Cartman at the end says, like, she thought she was the victim.
Yeah.
And but essentially what the triangle says is that we will, at some point in our lives, always be somewhere in this triangle. And the only way to win this game is to not play it. And so I kind of look at that and apply it to this, where some of these battles where everyone cares so much about, the only way to win it is just not care. Maybe. I don't
know. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, if there's anybody who doesn't care, it's Cartman. You know?
Yeah.
I think he just is like, yeah, can't it just be more like the part of my day where I'm having fun with my friends and I don't have to, you know, have... It was so much pressure for him to even have to talk to Heidi, so... Good for him. He's moved on.
He can do what he wants.
For right now, it seems like it.
Well, it's not like he's getting sex out of her anyway. You know what I mean? So there's no real benefit for
Cartman. I hope not. They are still 10,
right? Other than intellect,
yeah,
companionship.
But
that doesn't count.
Loyalty.
In the previous 20 seasons of South Park, does anything about Eric Cartman
no,
say that
he doesn't deserve it?
He wants intellect. Mm-mm. You know, he doesn't want that at all. That's why he hangs out with Butters so much. Butters is really the perfect foil for Cartman. That's who he should spend all of his time with.
He wants two gold, and that's probably about it. And remember, 17 is the age when everyone can start having sex, according to Chef.
Wow, I haven't thought about Chef in a while. He's been gone so long now.
Proper condom use. Look back. Is there any... I guess to finish up, we have to dive in deeper with the white supremacist stuff, because the whole part of it... To me, I can't verify this, but I was jokingly talking with Steph as we watched it, that I feel like Matt and Trey based the entire episode on the punchline at the end when no matter what's happening, you can count on white people renovating houses.
Yeah, that's true.
And to me, that was like, okay, the rest of the episode filled it out until we got to that point.
To that point, yeah.
Yeah. HGTV. What was it? HGTV will not stop. Yeah. They run 24/7.
I don't know. What's your guys' take? Are white people just renovating houses no matter what?
Definitely. Well,
and that was one of my favorite things in the episode, too, was when they were going through all the different kinds of, you know, white people in Texas and, you know, little people flipping big houses. And you know, you're just like, yeah, there's all these shows, you know? And, I mean, I know people like to watch them. It's fascinating that people like them as much as they do. And I think that's probably the commentary that they were making. It's like, look, these are the same white people, you know. There's white people in the street with the torches. But at the end of the day, look what they did for his house. You know, he had those really nice Confederate pillows. They just want a nice makeover, too.
Yeah. By the way, I can't tell you enough how many, like, home renovation shows get pitched just in Hollywood.
What?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like...
You would be surprised.
Like, I have a different version of it. Here's it. And by the way, why isn't there a little person flipping a big house?
That is
and
the
also
best
really
show.
Big people flipping little houses. I don't know. I mean, just they should be on TV.
Absolutely. Or like, hey, we'll flip your house upside down. I've been in an upside down house. They're freaky as...
I would not like that.
Well, I do like the inclusion of Randy and his wife because
oh my
last
gosh,
season...
that was my favorite part. The whole commercial for that, yeah. He just came out in song. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, and I liked how much time she spent just sitting there next to him and just sort of like, you're just taking it all in. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. She's all business, you know?
Yeah.
I think Randy needs Sharon, you know? Obviously, they work better together. Look at all the houses they flipped. So obviously, they work well together.
Yeah. I did miss Gerald in this episode, but hey, that's another story for another day.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, Stan and Kyle were barely in it, and no sign of
true.
Kenny. So, you know, this was a very Cartman-heavy episode, which I'm not complaining about.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into a couple of other things, we want to let you guys know, feel free to comment in the comment section. Let us know your guys' thoughts. We know you guys mostly hate us. That's okay. But let us know more intellectually what you loved or didn't like about the episode.
But this is their first chance to hate us. They haven't had a chance to hate Steph and
I
before.
Yeah. Bring it on.
And you can hate me on Twitter at @ChristianDMZ. I meant to say that before. That's where the hate should go.
Where can they... well, for the women, they usually like the women.
Yeah, we'll see. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, just to clarify also, Jessie Zahner, she's doing a couple of the shows here, so she might pop in every now and then. And Christy Olsen is now Christy St. Cloud working for the WWE. So,
right,
so she will not be rolling in here.
Go, girl.
Unless it's a very rare occasion.
And I think we might just have to ambush Stephen Lemieux and be like, what do you think of the episode? And just have him tell us, you know?
Because you could probably see his racist Twitter rants on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, I did want to talk about real fast before we wrap out what they did in terms of the promotion, that if you hashtag South Park 21
amazing.
With the chicken emoji, you would be delivered chicken.
And it was, like, quick delivery. I was watching it in real time happen.
So that's
on
what
Twitter.
Happened is that because I was watching it just before the show, I couldn't get chicken. Man, I would have loved some chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love that they did that.
And most people were, like, hesitant. They're like, this isn't going to work. And they just...
It was.
Do you have more details about this? Like, where did they get... Because the pictures themselves, it's not like they went to, like, KFC and everyone's getting KFC.
No, I think it was
like the
Wingstop.
Randomest chicken. What is it?
I think Wingstop. It was Wingstop. Oh, okay. Or it was an establishment, and they would just do that, and literally within the hour they would have it delivered, and then they would tweet out the picture, but it looked so good.
I got to start watching the show live. That's what it really comes down to.
Absolutely. Well, that was the other thing. So as we were doing a little bit of research going into this, apparently people that watch South Park, their Alexas and Siris were going off.
That was trending.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
South Park messed with my Alexa.
I did like when Cartman had the Alexa and the other devices mm-hmm. and was getting them all to talk to each other. I had that thought. I'm like, I bet that would work, you know, that you could get them all to talk to each other like that. So, but I only have Alexa, so I guess I can't try that.
If they were, if they could have done a little bit more pre-planning, this is the 40th anniversary of Close Encounters, and there's like that long 20-minute sequence of just the aliens basically playing this instrument. It could have been Cartman just doing that with Alexa and making fun of Close Encounters of the third kind.
That would have been funny.
But, you know.
Some Rain Man stuff.
You can do it for the 50th anniversary of Close Encounters in South Park season 31.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's. What do we predict, or we usually call it more, what do we hope for next episode?
Well, I was telling both of you that, you know, in the commercial, there's just a very little brief snippet for what I think we'll have next week. I saw Member Berries, and I was very excited. So I hope that that's really what we're going to get next week, because I thought last season was great, but the Member Berries was definitely my favorite part. So I'm ready for more Member Berries. Remember Member Berries, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, Member Berries were like the biggest thing in terms of cultural takeaways, because whenever someone would start spewing about like the old past, they'd be like, ah, someone brought Member Berries to the party.
Oh, what?
Yeah, because, you know. Absolutely.
No, it's true. Good reference. I just haven't heard it.
Clearly,
you're not hanging out in the right crowd. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you hope or predict?
What do I hope? I love the Member Berries, obviously. I think they're really creepy and cute at the same time, which is a hard mix to find. And obviously, I want Heidi to destroy Eric in like a classy way, like start running South Park a little bit more. I like Heidi. I want her to be more of a character. I think she's funny, and she solved the NASA thing.
Oh yeah, she's so funny. You're right.
Of course, a girl would say she's so funny.
You guys are want Heidi.
I wouldn't be surprised if we never saw Heidi again after this episode. But you're right. She's so funny.
She's really funny and smart.
Yeah, she's really smart.
Whatever. A girl can dream.
Absolutely. No, I think if they do utilize her, it'll be some feminist movement.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
Not
and I'll be here for
feminist
it.
Movements.
No, I'll be here for it. I would like it.
Me and Christian are totally, totally in support of feminism. Yeah,
absolutely.
And we're not sarcastic.
They're not
whatsoever.
Even a little. No.
They are feminists. They told me today.
That's right.
So seriously.
All right, guys. Once again, let us know what you guys think of the episode. Let us know what you guys thought of our opinions. We'll be back every single week talking about the show. And guess what? Not only that, the show's called South Park Weekly. So the good news is, once the season's over, we're going to continue on a weekly basis. So love us or hate us, you're going to get us.
You can hate us every week for the whole year, which is going to be great.
That's right. And in the meantime, once again, where can people...
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ.
You can find me on Twitter and IG at Steph Sabra.
And I'm Phil Svitek. You can follow me there on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And also check out my website, philsvitek.com. We will have Stephen Lemieux back next week. Thank you guys once again. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
you later.